which is exposed to the scorn of those who would witness the spectacle. I ask no man to perform the last rites for me. I entrust my remains to none. Nature has made provision that none shall go unburied. Time will lay away one whom cruelty has cast forth. Those were eloquent words which Mycenas uttered. I want no tomb, for nature doth provide for outcast bodies burial. You would imagine that this was the saying of a man of strict principles. He was indeed a man of noble and robust native gifts, but in prosperity he impaired these gifts by laxness. Farewell.
Tim Ferriss again, the producer of this audiobook series. What follows is the first letter of the next volume, which is volume 3. The letter is number 93, on the quality as contrasted with the length of life. We hope you enjoy it, and we also hope that you continue listening to the letters in volume 3, which contains some of my personal favorites. You can find that volume and my other favorite books, including those not related to Seneca, at 4hourworkweek.com/books. That's all spelled out, F-O-U-R-H-O-U-R, workweek.com/books.
Letter 93. On the quality as contrasted with the length of life. While reading the letter in which you were lamenting the death of the philosopher Matronax, as if he might have, and indeed ought to have, lived longer, I missed the spirit of fairness which abounds in all your discussions concerning men and things, but is lacking when you approach one single subject, as is indeed the case with us all. In other words, I have noticed many who deal fairly with their fellow men, but none who deals fairly with the gods. We rail every day at fate, saying, why has A been carried off in the very middle of his career? Why is not B carried off instead? Why should he prolong his old age, which is a burden to himself as well as to others? But tell me, pray, do you consider it fairer that you should obey nature, or that nature should obey you? And what difference does it make how soon you depart from a place which you must depart from sooner or later? We should strive not to live long, but to live rightly. For to achieve long life, you have need of fate only. But for right living, you need the soul. A life is really long if it is a full life, but fullness is not attained until the soul has rendered to itself the proper good, that is, until it has assumed control over itself. What benefit does this older man derive from the 80 years he has spent in idleness? A person like him has not lived. He has merely tarried a while in life. Nor has he died late in life. He has simply been a long time dying. He has lived 80 years, has he? That depends upon the date from which you reckon his death. Your other friend, however, departed in the bloom of his manhood, but he had fulfilled all the duties of a good citizen, a good friend, a good son. In no respect had he fallen short. His age may have been incomplete, but his life was complete. The other man has lived 80 years, has he? Nay, he has existed 80 years. Unless perchance you mean by he has lived what we mean when we say that a tree lives. Pray, let us see to it, my dear Lucilius, that our lives, like jewels of great price, be noteworthy not because of their width, but because of their weight. Let us measure them by their performance, not by their duration. Would you know wherein lies the difference between this hardy man who, despising fortune, has served through every campaign of life and has attained to life's supreme good, and that other person over whose head many years have passed? The former exists even after his death. The latter has died even before he was dead. We should therefore praise and number in the company of the blessed that man who has invested well the portion of time, however little, that has been allotted to him, for such a one has seen the true light. He has not been one of the common herd. He has not only lived, but flourished. Sometimes he enjoyed fair skies. Sometimes, as often happens, it was only through the clouds that there flashed to him the radiance of the mighty star. Why, do you ask? How long did he live? He still lives. At one bound, he has passed over into posterity and has consigned himself to the guardianship of memory. And yet, I would not on that account decline for myself a few additional years, although if my life's space be shortened, I shall not say that I have lacked aught that is a